Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
1, 2, 3, 4. Hey ho, let's go. Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Nice to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. Just look at the Tie Power scoreboard. South Sydney over the Roosters, 60 points to 8. The Titans. And the earlier game beat the Knights 36 points to 6. We'll look at the ramifications of those results and look forward to the other games in this round. Round 19, the last round of the season proper before we get into some finals footy. Nathan Brown is here, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler. My name is Tony Squires, and it's time for this.
Ladies and gentlemen, three in five.
I love Tony sessions. I love the three in five.
One, two, three, four, five. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
3 and 5. No, it's not 3 and 5. We're not doing 3 and 5, as you know. Still haven't got a new jingle made up.
Yeah, there was a good jingle last night for the Maroon Sex Change Cup. Did you hear that?
No.
I don't know. We'll get that up later in the show. It was a good one. It was a good jingle. Because you know about the bet, don't you, Tony?
I do know about the bet, yes.
Yeah, because the Titans won 5 in a row. Mm-hmm. So Anthony last night was put to the sword. Well, literally, almost, yes, I guess.
Well, we should get him on before
well, he comes
the show
in the
ends.
Call
so
of the game,
let's get him in early. We should have got him on while Mal was on, actually.
Mm.
That would have worked really well.
I saw Gordon Tallis was in a Titan shirt. It only took him 5 wins in a row to get
so
Gordy
shallow.
In the shirt.
So shallow, Gordy. Yeah.
He's a Titans ambassador, though, Gordy.
No, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, he is when they win 5 in a row. I'm just joking, Gordy.
All right. Now, this quiz is basically, again, you'll have to use your names as your buzzers. If you could just test those for me, please.
Brownie.
All right. Can you just...
Gerds. Emma.
No. Okay.
Gerds.
All right. Emma, Gerds, Brownie. That makes sense. All right. This is just a quiz, just some things that have happened during the season to see if you can recall what's gone on as we are, as I said, in round 19. All right. Question number one. Who was the player of the Nines tournament?
Emma. Gerds.
Wow. Yes, Emma. Oh, you think Gerds? No, Gerds, go for it. Go for it. I think Emma gave herself up.
Yep. Okay, I think it was that young guy that plays for the Dragons, and his name is Cody Ramsey?
No, apparently it's Scott Drinkwater.
Oh, yeah. He went good.
Cody Ramsey was scored the most tries. Correct.
Okay.
What was Peter Volandis talking about when he said, it's like people going to an ABBA concert.
Emma.
Yes.
The grand final, the AFL grand final being held in Brisbane?
Correct. When they're AC/DC fans. 2 points if you can finish the quote. The next line was, they'll like the...
Is this from the same statement?
Yes, the same statement.
About
when, ABBA concert, when they're AC/DC fans. He said they'll like the rhythm for a while, but they'll go back to the real heavy stuff, the NRL.
Mm, okay.
Name the top four when we went into COVID shutdown.
Gerds.
Yes, Gerds.
Oh, no. COVID shutdown. Penrith, Parramatta. Is that two?
That's two, but you're asking for four. Oh.
Yeah, okay.
Emma.
No,
Emma.
But no, it's not. You've got, no, yes, Emma.
Okay.
Penrith aren't there. Penrith aren't there.
Okay. Broncos?
No.
What? They won the first two.
Half a dozen teams won the first two. Eels, Knights, Raiders, Storm. Which referee announced this will be his final year?
Yes,
Emma.
Gavin Badger.
Yes. Who did?
Hang on, we've got to check Brownie's buzzer.
Yeah, Brownie's a bit out of the loop with this one. I'm a bit off the speed.
Yeah, you are, aren't you? You want to test your buzzer for us?
Brownie.
Yeah, it's working. All right. Who did Dean Young say?
Brownie.
There you go.
You've jumped in very early.
I'm just coming a little quick. I was just testing my buzzer again. That's all. I was just testing my buzzer again. Daptoe under 8.
It's working.
Daptoe indeed. Oh. He didn't say under 8, but it was Daptoe. He said they played like under 8. When I looked at that and saying that Daptoe would have beaten them, and Daptoe in the Illawarra competition had only won one game. I mean, imagine if they had to play Thurul, who were travelling very well, or Helensburgh. name three COVID-19 breaches.
Gerds.
Emma.
Yes, Gerds.
TikTok. With Nathan.
Yes.
Wayne
with Grappa.
With Grappa. And There's that other
you've
one.
You've got another
What's
one.
That other one?
Restaurant in Wollongong.
Davida Pengo, Jim.
Vaughan. Paul Vaughan is good.
In disguise with a mustache and a hat and false name. In Wollongong.
Writing Michael Wayman down. All right. What was the committee called to restart?
Emma.
Yes, Emma.
Project Apollo.
Project Apollo. Indeed. Bonus point for who was the head of that.
Emma.
Yes, Emma.
Wayne Pearce.
Oh, you were nailing it. Name the coaches sacked this
Emma.
Season. Yes, Emma.
Dean Pay.
Yes.
Steve Kearney.
Yes.
Mary.
No, yes. He quit.
What?
No, he's...
What's the same thing? Yes. Seabold.
Yes.
And... I said that one, Kearney.
No, Paul Green. Sorry, you don't get it. What? Oh, you're so angry. Don't swear.
Swear then, Ed.
She did.
My mouth.
She
swear.
Did. You really do have a potty mouth, don't you? What are you thinking?
But I didn't say it. I was just thinking it.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking, actually. What did what date did the NRL return?
Emma.
Yes.
May 28.
Who is the leading point scorer?
Brownie.
Emma.
Yes, Brownie.
From the Dragons, Lomax.
Well, he's the leading point scorer for the Dragons.
That's good if you get asked your own question and answer it. As well.
Adam Reynolds is the leading point scorer at the moment.
Lomax, he was there, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he's third now. How many 2040s were kicked this year?
And 2040s, Gertz? None.
Correct. None is the correct answer. Well, I think quizzes were the winner on the day. But Emma Lawrence, you are the winner. We're going to Coach's Corner next on the Saturday Scrum. Doing it for King G.
The Coach's Corner with Nathan Brown.
What have you got for us today?
I'd like to talk about Adam Blair and what a not only a great individual career he's had, but the impact he's probably had on others.
Yep.
So obviously, Blair, he came over from NZ as about a 17, 18-year-old, went to Melbourne. And obviously his career at Melbourne, he won a couple of competitions there before he went to the Tigers. And according to a former Tigers coach, I won't mention any names, but he said that at the Tigers players actually never embraced what Adam Blair took to the Tigers because he was such a hard trainer. And let's say in the physical part, all he knew at Melbourne was if you're practicing defense and wrestle, you practice it.
Full on.
Full on, yeah. And he actually said that a fair number of the Tigers players never actually embraced what Adam Blair brought. And Adam Blair then goes to Brisbane as a cheap player to play with Wayne and then look where Brisbane went. And when you talk to Herman Esiesi, he was a player me and Darren Mooney signed for the Knights, who's another signing that Mel's pulled off for the Titans. Herman was a kid who was at Canterbury, overweight, had diet problems, and he said, and Adam Blair grabbed him. And then Herman Esiesi goes from being an overweight kid who's not fulfilling his potential to all of a sudden playing finals footy with the Broncos, comes to the Knights, represents New Zealand, and becomes a really, really, good first-grade player. And Adam Blair, blokes like Adam Blair, the impact they have behind the scenes for clubs can far outweigh sometimes what they actually deliver on the field. And now I know at the Knights, at the Warriors, the impact he's had there on some of the younger players and what he leaves behind is probably what is more important at some of the clubs where he goes to. And, he's been a very, very good player. And when he's embraced what he actually takes to a club, not only with his training, but, educating young blokes about diet, which he's very good at himself, those players can have a huge impact on your club. On the other hand, you sign a player who's a bad egg, the negative impact they can have on players is, can be polarising, So he's had a great career, Blair, and he's going to move into an off-field role now with the Warriors and for the next sort of number of years helping out behind the scenes, which is great.
Still playing great footy.
Well, what he's doing is, what blokes like Blair do is they give what they've got. It's same with Aiden Guerra at the Knights at the moment. As they get older and their legs don't move quite as quick, they still try as hard as they possibly can. So the coach can never actually, it's rare a coach will challenge those blokes for their effort because their commitment, they don't know anything else but to compete hard, So he's still given what he can give. Blair, is it what he gave 5 years ago, 6 years ago? Father time catches up with us all, but they continue to give what they can give. Yeah.
You talk about that influence he has on other players. In a year like this would have been particularly important given what the Warriors were going through about location and all of those things.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I mean, and when I was over at the over in the preseason. They had the All-Stars game. And so they obviously had the All-Stars game. And Blair was a part of the All-Stars. And what's about 35 or 36, but I'm not sure, he's roughly about 35. So he played huge minutes in the All-Stars game and then comes back to train on the Monday and was one of the best trainers. Where one of the young blokes who played in the All-Stars come back and his training was very down, you know?
Yep.
And again, you know, it's a great, great example of leadership and what the best players, the blokes that have longevity in the game and are good, consistent players, you know, they turn up ready to go every training session, every day, you know? And Blairy really, you know, that was a real standout period for me at the Warriors when I saw that, you know? And I remember seeing this young bloke who had a real off day and he'd had an off day because he'd done the All-Stars and it was an interesting, his after the All-Stars, what he did for a few days as opposed to what Blairy did. Was sort of poles apart, you know?
It's interesting, Brownie, because there's been patches through his career where he's been, I guess, through the media and I guess through, you know, different times as pundits, effort on the field just hasn't been there. And we're not talking about, you know, it, on a weekly basis. We're talking about patches of seasons. I remember the year he had at the Tigers. They really struggled that year. And I'm not sure how, obviously, he was training that behind the scenes. But the impact that he was having on the field for the player that he was, that and the money that they paid for him, it just didn't all equal up.
Yeah, well, if you look at Blair, he went from an edge back rower at Melbourne Storm to an edge back rower at the Tigers. Now, the Melbourne Storm edge back rower, he had his one role to do with the when they had the ball, and that was to move in the certain area off Cooper Cronk. Playing with the Tigers, playing off Benji and those blokes are far, far different styles of players. You know, so his role at the Storm was so simple and so easy. He just knew what he had to do. He had to just keep appearing in the right space and compete hard, and that's what he did. And this is where when players get paid X amount of dollars, you know, sometimes people out there judge the player. The club decides to give the player the money. If he's not the right player maybe for your club for whatever reason, the player doesn't deserve to be the one, I suppose, that gets, I suppose, vilified. Because, you know, as I said, I did speak to one Tigers coach, and he said the Tigers players never embrace what Blairy brought, you know? So, and where have the Tigers been for the last 6 or 7 years?
Ninth.
Yeah, and sacking coaches all the time where he went to Brisbane and again, and he's copped his seat, Blair, at times, but when he's embraced for what he brings, and that's what Wayne did, Wayne knows what Adam Blair could bring, and Wayne embraced that, and they play in the grand final, and they're one pass or one tackle from winning a comp at Brisbane where he had a huge impact on that team, huge impact on the younger players in particular.
And what does, because of the signing news during the week for the Warriors, what does Adam Fanua Blake bring for you?
Oh, look, that's, you know, sometimes recruitment you get lucky. And with Adam Fanua Blake, obviously he's in the top handful of props in the game. He's obviously a big man and he's got good skill and he's a tough dude, isn't he? Yeah. And every team needs a couple of those. If you want to make an impact in rugby league, it's a physical sport, and winning the advantage line and having people like Adam in your team certainly makes the game far easier for your smaller blokes.
And just quickly wrapping up on the Warriors, what will happen when they finish? Obviously, they're out at the end of this weekend. That they all head back. Do they have to, the ones who are from New Zealand, they have to quarantine for a couple of weeks?
Yeah, so the New Zealand-based players will go into quarantine. Yeah, so I think they're going to maybe Crown Plaza or something in Auckland. So they'll go there in 14 days, and I think she's a pretty tough period. I've had a few mates that have done some quarantine this year in Melbourne and Sydney, and she's pretty quiet time. Yeah,
and
especially given they've had to be in a bubble as well, and all of the other players can finally go back to having that regular life. But at the end of a bubble, to then go and have to quarantine—that's pretty rough.
That's going to be a sort of long period, from what I'd imagine. But there's a element of them that are obviously so excited because they're going to get to see their mums and dads and extended families again. Yeah, so there's going to be, whilst it will be a bit lonely and boring at times, I'm sure there'll be a lot of happy and a lot of excitement. Yeah,
plus,
and a lot of the staff and the people sort of, everyone keeps talking about the players, but yeah, most of the players, if their families couldn't come out, their children, they went home. Yeah, so Kenny Mamalo and Dave Fusatua and Iggy Parsi, these blokes went home to be with their kids. I think, apart from Rog, everyone else's kids, they've been able to spend time. They've been with them, you know. But the staff, all their kids, they couldn't come out, you know. So the staff have made some huge sacrifices. So I know there's a lot of staff that are very keen to get home and see their little ones.
I'm sure you'll give them plenty to read for that couple of weeks, all the game plans for next year. Put a lot of work into them. They're not doing anything else. They may as well be productive.
Exactly. Thank you, Nathan Brown. Yet another excellent Coach's Corner. We might give out some NRL awards next on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Brownie, M, Gerds, Tony with you now. Look, given that we are round 19 heading towards the finals next week, awards ceremonies start happening. I just want to get just a few things I'd like you to award for the best of this season. Before we get there and still on those awards, Gerds, it was your teammate in 2003, the year that Panthers won the competition, Craig Gower, the push for him to receive his Dally M medal, given that he was a point clear going into the last round and won the Man of the Match award. So
In that last game? Yeah, I didn't think he was that good.
No, he wasn't that good?
No.
So you're questioning the whole...
No, look, you know, Craig as a player was just never one of those guys that was concerned about individual accolades, you know. He was a team man through and through. Ever since he's retired, though, Tone, every time I bump into him, he's like, what about that bloody medal they never gave me? I want it. So it'll keep him quiet for a little while. So I hope they give it to him.
They'd have to. I mean,
shut him up for a while. He deserves it. He had a fantastic... There's been a few people call through the week and say, what was it about Gowie and why should he won the medal and what made him so special that year? And I said, well, what made him special that year was the people around him, because he did the same job every week for... I played with him for maybe 8 or 9 years, maybe a bit longer. And he did the same job every week. We just had success that year and had some good players around him, and he had a bit of a platform to work from with some good forwards. But I saw him play... give the same sort of output every week for a long period of time when we had tough times. And I think that's what, for me, that's what made Gowie such a unique player and such a good player and such a competitor.
I saw him play after that, of course, I think for Italy in rugby union.
Yeah.
The only thing he struggled with was the anthem. I remember watching him in a test match.
Yeah. And then he went to French rugby and he had the back end of his career would have been... He had a lot of fun and was able to do lots of things. So
it should be awarded to him. Look, the thing people I'm worried about is somewhere from 2003, there's a winger of the year who hasn't got his gong as well, and forward, the positional players.
Oh, the positions.
Should we not go back and have the entire ceremony where 2003 kind of gear?
Maybe.
See how we go. Maybe. I think it's brilliant. All right. Well, I'm going to ask you just a couple of key things from what you've seen this year. Well, we'll start with who at the moment, Coach of the Year, Brownie, given that you are going back into the business. Coach of the Year, who have you got?
I'll go Ivan Cleary, Just Pips, Justin Holbrook.
Yeah, Justin Holbrook is an amazing performance for him. But Ivan Cleary, you've got. Em, who have you got?
I'm going Ivan as well, just given where they came from. Had all that drama last year, didn't even make the eight, and a lot of players that haven't really played a lot of first grade becoming household names. So I'm giving it to Ivan.
Yeah, Ivan followed closely by Justin Holbrook as well.
Right, and in the interim coach of the year?
Oh.
Is that on the list?
Is that there?
I think Todd Payton.
Toddy Payton gets it.
All right, Gerd, you run through the other four awards there. Who have you got for Dally M?
Nathan Cleary. I think he's been the most consistent player all year. We've got Most Improved, which isn't a Dally M, but it's an award that Charlie's come up with. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sound too Penrith biased here, but I think Isaiah Yeo has had an amazing season and is probably going to push for representative honours at the back end of it if they go through into the finals. Forward of the year, again, I think James Fisher-Harris has been probably one of the most consistent players all year, probably doesn't get recognised enough, and he's been, I think, the most outstanding forward on a consistent basis for mine all year. And then outside back, so we've gone for wing or centre of the year. There's been some good ones. I think the Fox has had a great year for Melbourne. But I'm going to go with Joey Manu. I think not just in the way that he plays, but his leadership, especially when, Kieran and Cordner and the like were out. He really stood up this year and decided a lot of contests in the Roosters through the middle of the year. So they're my guys.
I like the Most Improved Award. I won it 5 years in a row, which makes you wonder how crap I was to begin with. Where are you going with them?
I've gone Dally M, Nathan as well.
Yep.
And if he does get the real Dally M, that would be pretty special considering he got 6 points deducted
and
from
missed
that
two games.
Yeah, from TikTok.
It would be insane.
It would be a great story. We'd love that. I've gone Most Improved Liam Martin. He's really sort of come out of his shell this year and some crazy things. I mean, we know he can be a bit of a maniac and put on some shots, but there was even a try he scored a couple of weeks ago, that massive, looked like a bit of an yeah, AFL marks. Yep. So that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Forward of the year. There's plenty, but I picked Nathan Brown from the Eels just because I think whenever the Eels have their best game, it's usually because Nathan Brown's the best player on the field.
I wasn't ringing your bell. Saying your time was up. That was just bumped my glass. Sorry. Continue.
So professional of you. Most improved again for you. And outside back of the year, I actually giving it being loyal to the Tigers to David Nofaluma.
Ah,
because he's been one of their best. And last year at times he struggled. He had a lot of injuries and then couldn't get back into that first grade side. But he's flying. So well done, Noffa.
All right. And Nathan Brown?
I'll go Dally M. For me, a dead eat between Nathan Cleary and Cameron Smith.
Okay.
For me. Most improved player. He missed a little bit of footy with injury, but I thought Angus Crichton, for me, was one of the more improved players this year. I thought he really made some really strides forward in parts of his game.
Yep.
Forward of the year, that's a tough one.
Mm.
But I'm going to go Dale Finucane. Yeah, his good performance is very good and his bad performance is very good.
That's so true.
He just plays the same every week, which is sort of a high, high quality. And outside back, I'm going to go Justin Olam.
Oh, I like Justin Olam.
He's been outstanding every single week. He's been outstanding, and I think their edge may be the best defensive edge in the comp. I've got a funny feeling.
When he put his head down, paws on the petrol, he's so quick over those first 10 metres. All right, there you go. There are your NRL awards. Plenty to come. Dragons recruitment. What do they need to get over what's been going horribly wrong for St. George Illawarra? Quick look at Broncos and that wooden spoon. Believe it or not, and Sturlo joins us at 2 o'clock on the Saturday Scrum.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
As you know, Tyrone Peachy in last night's game, allegations of racial vilification against a Newcastle player. I have with me a statement from NRL CEO Andrew Abdo. He's provided the following update after allegations of racial abuse during last night's game between the Gold Coast Titans and Newcastle Knights. We are an inclusive sport and we pride ourselves on our diversity. I have requested the NRL Integrity Unit investigate the allegations as a matter of urgency. We will speak to all parties involved in order to get to the bottom of the allegations and ensure a fair and respectful process for all. Player welfare is our absolute priority. We'll do everything we can to make sure our players feel safe and supported. Any form of racism or vilification will not be tolerated in our game. So there's a statement from NRL CEO Andrew Abdo, which seems exactly right and proper. We'll see how that unfolds and whether the Titans and indeed the Newcastle Knights release anything to the media later today.
Actually, the Knights have just released a statement too, saying that they are assisting with the investigation, but the player accused denies making those racial remarks.
Okay. All right. So,
and the club is conducting its own investigation as well as working with the NRL Integrity Unit. So...
All right. Okay. So
denies making the remarks from the Knights.
Okay. There you have it. That is the latest on that the racial vilification allegations from Tyrone Peachy. All right. The Broncos Thursday night went down to the Cowboys 32-16. It was pretty much the same tale of the tape from the entire season, and it means that for the first time in what is a proud and illustrious history for this club, they collect the wooden spoon. What did you make of it, their performance? I guess it just in line with what's been going on for the entire season, Brownie.
Yeah, look, they obviously played a Cowboys side who's not quite where they wanted to be as well. And I think there's been plenty and enough said about the Bronx have obviously come into the year with high expectations. They've had their coach depart. And to get the wooden spoon is probably not something that any people involved in rugby league would have thought the Broncos would be associated with, I suppose.
What did you make of it, Gerds?
Well, yeah, every side, like, you know, someone's got to get the wooden spoon every year, and that's obviously coming last, you know, by the results on a weekly basis. But the whole organisation, Tony, I think should get the wooden spoon this year for the way that that whole club has been run. It's been a debacle up there, and if you look at the other side that they are in the battle with, the Bulldogs, if you look at what's going off field as well, it just tells you that you need to make sure that the whole organisation's in a good space when you're going into the new year, or because it does have an impact on the players and the results, and both of those clubs hopefully learn from this and get all their front of house in order as well as, you know, starting to get their footy side, you know, back in a good place for next year.
In terms of that, the office affecting the on-field performance, is it fair that the Broncos are now in the middle, given that the Melbourne Storm are in a campaign for the finals and premiership, the whole Craig Bellamy, they're chasing hard with Craig Bellamy, want him to come after next year as a coaching director over whoever they appoint. It's going to be Kevin. We don't know if Kevin Walters has got the gig or who's got the gig as yet, but that seems that would impact on the Storm as well. I mean, is that a fair enough thing to be doing?
Well, if they need to get a new coach, coaching director, CEO, they have to be conducting it. And you see it with players going to and from clubs. So I think it's just the nature of what happens. And I think the Melbourne Storm is such a professional outfit that they wouldn't let that affect their on-field performance. I mean, you've got the Cameron Smith retiring stuff. Is Craig Bellamy going up there? Dave Donaghy, their CEO. Bellamy actually spoke to Pete Bedell and said that he's very much open to having that coaching director's role, but at the end of next season, that will be it for coaching for him, definitely. So he's opened up on that, but I think it's the nature of the business. But I would imagine the Broncos, they have to get it sorted ASAP, because how can you start attracting players to your club? Because a player needs to know what coach is going to be there before they sign. So they need to get their act together.
And sadly, when it finishes like it did, you people can not... You know, can gloss over the good things that people involved, like Darius Boyd, what a great player.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, you can forget how, you know, some people can probably, Darius Boyd was he's been one of the best players of the past sort of 15, 20 years, you know, with what he could do on the field and
sensational what Dragons he achieved. Grand final.
Yeah, what he achieved was outstanding, you know. And the CEO, I know he's copped his heat at the moment, but he oversaw the club going from X amount of dollars to huge business, you know. He helped oversee and run that and then build a centre of excellence that cost $30-something million, you know. So when it finishes like it does, people can tend to forget the great impact that some of the people at the club have actually had on the club as well.
All right, just quickly then, it was one of the two games, the other being the Warriors taking on the Sea Eagles, where they've had the experimental rules that, you know, we don't know whether they will come in place, but just having a look at them. One being with the bunker, if a try is awarded by the referee, goes the bunker automatically while play goes on. So the other team, before the conversion is taken, they decide, yes, that's okay. If you see it, that can be awarded and there's a problem, the bunker will say, that's no try. So then the try is just left. Seemed to me that's a fairly, been using that in rugby union. The only dicey thing in that, Brownie, is that when they were doing it in rugby, players who knew there was a bit dodgy about the try would run back and take the conversion attempt very, very quickly.
Well, anything that makes our game keep going
and
not stop for a period of time is great for the game. We're noticing that this year with the six again. Anything that's making the game keep moving is going to make a better spectacle. We're going to have tighter people and more football actually played. So I personally don't mind it.
I didn't mind it. And you may as well try it. And if it doesn't work and you don't get great feedback, then you don't have to implement it. But they're the games that you'd have to trial.
What about the death of the scrum? It seems to be virtually gone under these experimental rules. So if you kick the ball, if the ball goes out, rather not 40-20, but if it just goes out, rather than having a scrum, it will be handover, changeover.
I've actually liked the scrums this year because, you know, allowing the side to decide where it sort of is actually taken, the scrum's taken place. It's just opened up opportunities for, you know, some outside backs to get some clean football. I've actually liked that, so I hope they don't get rid of the scrums altogether. I thought that for the continuity of the game, it was really good the way the referees get there. They make a decision, and then, you know, all the replays and that are done after the fans and that are celebrating, and it doesn't sort of, you know, you seize the moment a little bit. I thought the crowd really loved it. I, as a fan, watching it on TV when the tries were awarded straight away, I really liked it. I wasn't that disappointed when that one was taken back for the hammer, who was just a little bit offside. I didn't think that sort of took away from the product at all, so I liked it.
I think the getting rid of the scrum's on par with your socks call, Tane.
Not a good one?
No, not a good one.
There was some rule there where that...
I reckon Peter Valandis has rang you about that scrum. I reckon that's your one.
What are they trying to do with nominating 10 people that need to go into the scrums on a weekly basis? And if you're not one of those 10, I mean, who's going to police that rule?
Well, it's just the offence of seeing a halfback in the packing down as a prop.
Well, if you're going to go there, if you're going to worry about who's in the scrum, how about you then worry about
the contest
itself in the scrum? Because if it's no contest, then if you make it a contest in the scrum, well, then you're only going to get the right people in there.
So they should just gather in a group and stand so they're a little bit out of the way.
That's pretty much what they do anyway, Tony, isn't it?
It is.
Really?
They do have a little bit of risk. Adam has called 133353. G'day, Adam.
Hello, Tone, and gentlemen and ladies.
Nice to have you. What do you think about these new rules?
Mate, I thought the game the other night, and listening to it on Triple M, it was really good. The Broncos game against the Cowboys, because everything was a lot quicker. You know, the referee had to make a decision, and, you know, everything that you guys were talking about the referees not making decisions was anti that in that particular game. So it was exactly the opposite, you know, the polar opposite. So,
and you're happy for the scrum just to go the way of the dinosaur?
Oh, the scrum realistically these days is just an event that actually takes some players out of the game, you know, essentially, and that's opens the game up. So that's been on the radar for the last 20 years. It's been decreasing, so.
Yeah, indeed. All right, Adam, thank you so much for your thoughts. We'll get another look at those rules when the Warriors take on the Sea Eagles on Sunday afternoon. Peter Sterling will join us at 2 o'clock, but next, believe it or not, Saturday Scrum, thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
Lovely to have your company heading towards 3 o'clock. Kickoff. It is the Bulldogs taking on the Panthers. Can the Panthers go through the season? They're already minor premiers, played sensational rugby league, been beaten just the once. Can they continue that record against the Doggies, you would imagine? So, all right, right now, this.
Believe it or not, believe it or not.
Nathan Brown, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, your task is to, as I throw a couple of ideas at you, tell me whether you believe it or not. All right, believe it or not, Nathan Brown, NRL clubs have disrespected the broadcasters by mass resting of players. Well, certainly we said that with Melbourne, perhaps with Canberra a little bit as well. What do you think?
No, I disagree. What they're doing is trying to give their club the best possible chance of having the healthiest roster possible in September. Well, not September now, but October.
All right. Even though the NRL is being paid and those clubs being paid a lot by broadcasters to give the top quality rugby league, you don't mind about that?
No, well, I mean, it's just the time of the year it is. And obviously a lot of people this year, more so than ever, have made a lot more sacrifice, haven't they? So being in bubbles and that type of stuff's been, it's not only physically the games hasn't been drained, but mentally it's probably been a bit of a drain at times. So I think, you know, clubs are freshening players up to have a great final series. We're here talking at the moment about sides running fifth and sixth as being a possibility of winning the comp, you know. And yep. I think to have a round of footy, which may be below best, to have, you know, sides fifth and sixth as a possibility of winning the comp is far, far more entertaining for me than having one bad week of footy.
Yeah, we have games. I mean, the AFL, they stopped having, everybody has a weekend off just for this situation. What do you think, Em?
Not believe it. It's not disrespectful because the club's number one priority is to win the competition. Their priority is not to the broadcasters. And I still think, as Brownie said, there are entertaining games of footy. I mean, we saw Souths against the Dogs last week who were coming second last. What a tight clash that was. And there are plenty of other good storylines to come out of it, like some kids getting to make their debuts and things like that. So, no, I don't think it's disrespectful.
Good.
Yeah, nah.
Which one? Yeah or
no? I think their priority is obviously having a good final series, and they probably see the benefit in making sure that we've got the right players playing at the right time of year. And if this helps that, I think they're okay with it.
You could have stopped it. Yeah, no. I reckon that was really good.
Yeah, no.
Tom Trbojevic, believe it or not, Tom Trbojevic owes it to Manly, his club, to not play State of Origin.
Yeah, no. No way. Any player that's played Origin or that has put on an NRL jersey wants to play and can qualify for New South Wales or Queensland wants to play in that jersey at whatever any chance they get, and he'll be doing his best, and I don't blame him.
So you're saying that question's written by somebody who's never played Origin? Charlie?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Charlie. What do you think, Em?
No, of course he should play. And to be fair, every time he would be part of an Origin squad, he'd be able to take more back to then club in terms of being around like Brad Fittler, being around the group, confidence, all of those sorts of things. So it is then a benefit to Manly to have someone who's gone on and played another three games of State of Origin.
And the season Manly's starts in March.
Yeah, but the,
and it's November.
Yeah, exactly. It's November. It's a much shortened preseason for a guy who's had the hamstring problems. He's gone up off with the shoulder now. Mm. Will have played one game in 19 weeks should he actually play in State of Origin 1.
Which should be fresh then, shouldn't he?
Should be. What do you think, Brownie?
I'd like to see him for his own career not to play, because if he does his hamstring another time like
that's
he
not
does.
The hang on. That's not the question.
He's attacking it from a different
side. No, but that's the question. Believe it or not, he owes it to Manly not to play.
I believe he owes it to himself.
No, well, that's not the question.
Who are you, the narrator?
But what if the hamstring is good to go and all the doctors say, no, it's fine?
Yeah, but it was fine last year too.
Yeah, but it was a different part of the hamstring.
Yeah, it's fine.
You're saying it would be sensible for him to...
When Laurie Daly, one of our greatest ever players, comes out and says, after doing me hamstring bad on the fourth occasion, I wasn't the same player. That's just alarm bells for a bloke to let's get me body right and have a good 8 years of Origin, because he's one of the best players in the game. So
Sturlo's walking in.
Why did Manly play him last week then? Why finish the season with him playing and risking a chance of doing it?
I think he wanted to play Pete, didn't he?
I'm not involved. I've just been asked the question. I just answered off the back of what a great Laurie Daly said. So I just think if he does his hamstring like that again, his career's in jeopardy.
And I think Pete's exactly right. He would have pushed hard as a player to play last week, and Manly probably as a club could have said, well, we're not going to play you this week because we believe that you need to rest and look after you for next year. So
as it turns out, his hammer was great. His shoulder was.
That's right.
I love that. Thanks, Pete. Breaking the fourth wall, coming in before he's even introduced. But doesn't matter.
See, that's the added value. You get extra time out of Sterling.
Yeah, I know. Bonus. All right. Believe it or not, Darius Boyd's gender reveal was a wonderful moment in the season, Emma Lawrence. For those who don't know, after the game last night on the field, Darius Boyd, who already has two daughters, he and his wife, revealed he was given a football. He kicked it. Pink powder was inside it, so we revealed that it was a daughter is on the way.
I think that is certainly an exciting part of anyone's life. It should be celebrated. Mm. I'm not sure if that was the time and place to do it, just because if you look at the broader context, it's a club that's never won the Wooden Spoon. You've got legends left, right and centre coming out, and I think just contextually they've just won the Wooden Spoon. There's lots of people were throwing wooden spoons on their training ground. You know, I mean,
not dummies.
What about the fact that this is Darius Boyd, who's done a great deal, as Brandon was saying before, in his career, some amazing things, great things for Brisbane, great things for the Dragons, and Newcastle has been all over. But this is his career now. His life has moved on. This is symbolic. There he goes. He's about being family, all those things. Why can't he bring that?
I'm not saying he can't. If he wants to, that's fine. I don't have anything against it, but I found it strange when I saw it.
It was strange. Well, I think they could have set it up better, Tony.
Okay.
If only the Broncos could have scored a try late.
I know where you're going.
And they could have brought it out and put it on the tee, and then he could have gone to kick the goal, and it could have gone off.
A proper football.
So, yeah, I think they could have done it better.
Brownie, you have a problem with it?
No, I actually didn't see it, but I don't have a problem with it at all. I think Darius has come out and made the point that as a younger person, all he did was worry about his football first, second and third and had no interest in anything else in life and went and got some help. And now he understands that there's other things that are more important in life, and that's family. So I don't have an issue with it at all.
Don't point at me, George.
What are you saying now,
Em? I said I don't have an issue if he wants to do it. Mm. I just found it.
You said he didn't read the room. That's what you said.
I did not say that.
Well, that didn't answer the question. Darius Boyd's gender reveal was a wonderful moment in the season. You're saying, do you believe it or not?
A wonderful moment in the season or for a wonderful moment in Darius's life?
I'm just reading the words in front of me.
I think they're wonderful moment in the season. Did you answer the question, Gertz?
He's not asking me.
We've all got to answer it.
Yeah, well, you answer it.
I take that as a no. we have plenty to come, including the official Peter Sterling entry to the show. That's next on the Saturday Scrum.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.